tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Like my theme song, guys. My nickname growing up was Crybaby Ashley by my dad because I cried all the time. I was like a whiner, so it's fine. Don't feel bad. There's no woe is me here. It was just, you know, just a little whiner. Now look at me now. I have it all together now. I am here again with my lovely, lovely panel and one additional lovely panelist who, by popular demand, has come back to give us some more intellectual insight on these housewives. I'm Ashley Daniels here. To my right is the beautiful...
Hi, I'm Lindsay Wagner.
And who do I have to my left?
Fern Ronay here.
Megan Stecker.
I'm Dr. Fran Wallfish.
Yay! Yay! She's back! And what a great night to have you back, I'll tell you that, because this was one of the most crazy episodes of, I would say, any season, never mind just this one alone. Overall thoughts, everyone?
Well, Megan, you tweeted all of us earlier today saying that Andy had said crazy from what, beginning to end?
Yes.
Tension the whole entire time. Mm-hmm. The whole entire time. I literally felt uncomfortable, like holding my breath the entire time.
Yeah. I definitely felt the same way. It's hard because you want to be entertained by this because it is entertaining, but we have a bond now with these ladies. We watch them every week and we fear for their lives. We fear for their emotions. We worry about them. So it's hard to be entertained by people that we feel connected to. Mm-hmm. Any overall thoughts about the episode?
It was uncomfortable. It was like awkward, and I was glad I was not in that limo as well.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. And yeah, it was just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I was just very surprised at the way the show opened. I've never seen any of the Housewives shows open with conflict. All I heard was like screaming and cursing and bleeps from the minute the show came on. So that was, I think, a preview of things to come.
Mm-hmm. I felt embarrassed for some of the ladies. I felt like, oh dear, when they watch themselves on this episode, they're going to feel, I think, some embarrassment.
I would think so. Yeah, that's sad. I think especially, hopefully Sonia doesn't feel too bad when she watches it, but I can't imagine her, like, watching that and thinking it was, a fun experience. She must look back and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe, all of them, whatever you drink, imagine having that all shown on TV 7 months later after you've already lived the night, like, so long ago. That's, like, no one wants to even, like, have one picture put up of them without even seeing it first, never mind that.
Right. Like, we've all been in hard places, just obviously going through a hard time. Yeah. And, yeah, you drink, you get drunk, you have those nights. No, none of us are on national television. Nights aren't on TV. Thank God.
Right.
So,
sometimes watching ourselves in those embarrassing moments can sometimes jar us to open our eyes and face things that are hard to face. You know, I read something online just yesterday about a father who videotaped his child in the middle of a terrible temper tantrum to show it to him. And actually, I don't remember who it was. It was a celebrity and a famous one. I did not agree with this parenting technique, but it is a way to shame, humiliate, and force kids to see themselves at their worst. And sometimes that can help shake someone out of denial.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that is very. I don't know with children if that's very interesting. We'd have to really dig deep into that.
Haven't you guys seen the YouTube video with the kid like who's like, Linda, listen, Linda, Linda, you're not listening, and he's like three, and he's telling her about the cupcake he ate, and he's arguing with her about why he should be allowed to eat the cupcake.
Oh my God, no, I haven't.
And he's literally calling her by her first name. And I mean, the video's gotten millions, billions of views.
Right.
And I don't think that it's he's embarrassed by it. I mean, he's 3 years old.
Right. Well, yeah. But in okay. So let's reel back in. We're gonna reel back in. All right. So starting with the first part of the episode, we have Sonia not allowing Heather, Kristen, and who else, girls?
Was Dorinda with them?
Dorinda into her home, was just allowing them into the foyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up, tried to go upstairs, and she said no. And I guess one of the interns said, like, you can't come up here or whatever. Very surprising, because I would think if anybody out of all of them, I would feel like Sonia would be the most welcoming. I don't know why. I just feel like she'd be like, oh, you want? She'd get her toaster oven out. She'd start cooking. So that was surprising. Did you guys feel like when she was later on in the limo confronted by Heather that she had no idea that she had done that, or that she did it and she was trying to hide what she had done?
Hide it.
Yeah.
I thought she was, because she was so defensive. I think when people are really surprised and feel bad, they're not so defensive. But she was fighting it, so I think she knew and was hiding it.
Good point. Did you agree with what she did?
I mean, they were waiting for an hour. That's first off, a long time to wait. So in an hour, you do want to welcome someone into your home. Sit down, have a cup of tea, you know, relax. Mm-hmm. To say you have to wait in the limo, I feel like Sonia was obviously going through something that she was embarrassed about, which is why she just tried to pretend it didn't happen. Although I do feel like once we got in the limo, I felt like once again Heather was just kind of attacking her, and it was like, let's enjoy Ramona's birthday. Mm-hmm. Let's all just let it go. It is a birthday party, and Ramona's sitting in the middle of it trying to stop it. It was uncomfortable. It was embarrassing.
Yes.
All around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it didn't make matters any better when Bethany got there and Heather said, well, we were told you're getting here at 12:15. She had showed up at 11:30. Someone had told them she won't be arriving until 12:15. But Bethany had a good reason. She had to bring her daughter to school or something. Everybody was already on edge. So it was not going to end well regardless of when Bethany came. They were looking for anything to, you know, take their anger out on. But what did you think about when we saw Bethany get in and Bethany's like, her and Heather are kind of a little bit at it. Did you feel like Bethany was rightfully so? You know, and was she right in what she was doing when
she was
saying?
Bethany didn't know what had happened right before, so she gets in and is like, all of a sudden, they're all on edge, there's tension in the air, and she's getting attacked for being late, and her excuse was good. And Sonia's excuse was good, too. Didn't hurt. She was looking for childcare because her sister wasn't going to be coming. So she should have just, I don't care what the big deal is, she should have just said, come in, like, I'm trying to deal with something. These are your friends.
You thought that was true? You didn't think she was making that up?
I don't know. If it is true, she should have just been like, come in, like, I just have to take care of some stuff. These are your friends. What's the big deal?
Right.
And then it just was a roller coaster of crazy, because then, you know,
yeah,
the fallout from that, and then Bethany gets in the car, she's late.
I thought Sonia was not being honest. Like, Bethany was very honest, and she just put it out to them. Like, this honest Bethany is, like, crazy honest, and I find it so refreshing this year. She's just like, here's what it is. I had to drop off my daughter. The rain made me really late. I'm sorry. That's all I can say is I'm sorry. And it ended there. And really, no one could be mad. And then with Sonia, it was excuse after excuse. You know, first it was, what did I write down? You know, the friend's sister died, so that's why they can't come in the house. Oh, but then the dogs were going to run out the door. It was just thing after thing, and yeah, the packing was what she told them at first. Like, it just didn't make any sense.
What do you think it really was that she didn't want them to see? Like, they're
her friends.
She has
100 interns there. I feel like it had to have been something just with, because it clearly wasn't like, I don't want you to see something.
Right.
Because everybody else is there. Those are not even her friends. Those are interns. So
maybe the house was in disarray and she didn't want the cameras in there.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe. Like, that's a really good point.
She wasn't packed. She wasn't ready. She hadn't had the housekeeper come, whatever it was, and she didn't want the cameras in there. And
that's a good point.
Yeah. She was full of excuses why they couldn't come in.
Right. She's a little defensive about not having it together. So
Yeah,
it might have been like a control thing, like, I don't want anyone to see this.
Definitely. But it does start off with a bang. I mean, really does. And they're looking for a wine opener. Ramona's like, excuse me, please,
so
wine opener.
So,
excuse me. The poor guy's getting rained on. But they get there, they start going, and then, you know, they have Bethany has to pee. We saw Bethany goes outside and pees, and we know from seasons ago during Bethany Ever After, she pees in a bucket, so this is nothing for her. She's like, I got this. But Ramona, not so much. We do hear Bethany kind of make that little pee sound, trying to help Ramona. doesn't help. I don't blame Ramona. That must have been really awkward. But go Bethany. That's great for her. Literally, go Bethany.
Yeah. Bethany being honest, kind of what commenting on what Megan's saying, and the girls kind of saying that she's been harsh, but I think she was really honest with Sonia in the car when she said, you're name dropping. Mm-hmm. And it's just coming off like this.
She was so great with Sonia this whole episode.
She really was. Patient with her, but still giving good advice.
So were you surprised in the end that she was still willing to go out on a limb and try to have a heart-to-heart despite not having gotten through to her in the limo? Or do you think that this is just like she just thought repetition would somehow get through to her?
I wasn't surprised. You know, it's an interesting thing because I'm looking as a parallel at the five of us tonight.
Yeah.
You guys are so lovely to invite me back. Oh, Thank you so much.
Always. We love you.
Five of all of us sitting here courteous, not interrupting, taking turns, listening, waiting, processing, taking our turn.
Right.
They're watching them in that limo is a perfect example of poor communication. They're screaming. They're not listening. They're interrupting. The only one who really is honest, like you said, and you, is Bethany.
Yeah.
She's direct and she's honest. Now, she may not have great style in the way she does it. She really doesn't. But she's as honest as I think, you know, I said while we were watching that she is the episode psychologist. She is the one who's bringing sanity, I think. So the fact that she didn't give up, I think she's going to chip and chip and chip away at that defensiveness and try to get through to her. I don't think she's going to give up. She's not a quitter.
No, she's definitely not a quitter. That's a really, really good point. Mm-hmm. And despite what she's going through, she doesn't have a problem still trying to help. A lot of people just wallow in their own misery and they don't think about helping others, but she does. And I agree with you 100%. She's the Dr. Fran of the show, so she agree. But absolutely. But then we get into the hotel. They arrive in Megan. Mm-hmm. You made a really good point. Mm-hmm. So this hotel, you stayed there, but this is the same hotel. Want to tell everybody
That Bethany and Jason did their bachelorette party at all those years ago.
Very nice.
So I'm surprised Bethany didn't bring that up, but maybe she did. Maybe it's on the cutting room floor.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So interesting. But they get there. We always get excited when they go anywhere because we want to know who's staying with who. Surprisingly, Kristen and Bethany, I would think, would get her own bedroom. But Kristen got her own bedroom. So good for her. That's awesome. But we had Heather, Carol, Luann together. No surprise there. And Ramona, Sonia, and Dorinda. No surprise there either. I think it would be surprising if, like, Bethany and Kristen were together or something. Like, you know, that would be more shocking. But there was really no shock going on with where they were staying. The shock did come in, though, with the ensembles that they wore that night.
Very different.
Crazy. What would you guys say overall? Whose outfit would you have worn if you could pick one?
I would have worn Kristen's. I loved it. I love the two different color shoes.
The two
different colors. I loved, like, the crazy gold belt and the bag kind of, like, tied it all together. I'm so obsessed with her fashion.
Yeah,
she's the best.
Oh, my God. Last night's look. I bet that'll be on her blog.
I looked it up while we were watching.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Cool.
What about you? If I could pull it off, like Carol with the bunny ears.
Yeah.
Like, if you're in Atlantic City, wear bunny ears and, like, the naked shirt. Yeah, why not?
I didn't know that was something that you do. Like, you dress crazy in Atlantic City.
I didn't know that either.
I've been to that hotel a million times for, like, girls' weekends and, like, sorority girl meetups years later and bachelorette parties, and I've never seen anyone wear any kind of bunny ears.
Okay, first time for everything.
I don't think it, but I think in Atlantic City is where you can get away.
You can get away with it. It's like Vegas. You're dressed up to go clubbing.
There's no, you know, there's only windows where you enter in the lobby, so. It's nighttime all the time in Atlantic City.
And the clientele, I think, is more accepting of anything.
I'm sure they
are.
Well,
you go there to get crazy.
Yeah.
What outfit would you wear?
I would have worn Dorinda's. I was obsessed with her dress and her earrings. I loved her hair. She looked amazing. Amazing. What about you, Dr. Fran?
We're an awesome mix. We don't have one duplicate.
I know.
I would have worn, now I'm blanking, oh my God, the spangled dress. Sonia's dress.
Sonia's dress. Okay. That was gorgeous. That was
awesome. I would have worn.
I could totally see you in that, by the way. That's awesome. It's
I've
very
got
like.
The shoes to match in my closet.
It's very Broadway.
Yes.
Which you've.
Liza and I.
Yeah. Liza.
What about you?
And I would have done either. Heather's, because okay. I like the leather pants. Yeah. Or Bethany's done the leather boots.
How funny. We're all completely, that's hilarious.
That's amazing.
That's really cool.
Well, we all do have very different
we do,
styles,
we do.
So it, yeah. it makes sense.
That's
but
hilarious.
I like that.
That's hilarious. Okay. I want to know what you guys would have worn. So when you comment on our YouTube, when you comment on our YouTube later, let us know. And if you're a guy, let us know which one you liked best. And if you're a guy that goes that way, then hey, let us know what you would have worn. No judgment zone here. We love everyone.
No okay. one picked Ramona.
No one picked Ramona.
I don't
remember. She wore
it.
She wore
it. It had some paneling yeah. with lace. It was
okay.
pretty.
Okay.
It was
okay.
She's wearing a lot of black and nothing too form-fitting. Mm. So I think she's still like not ready to show it all off yet. She's not feeling completely single, ready to mingle.
Mm. And that's a really good point.
Good
I wouldn't think of that. Because I know yeah. that Luann kind of mentioned that about her outfit last week at the cocktail party.
Yeah. Mm. I don't even remember what Luann wore, except she had a cool necklace.
Blue, kind of drapey thing.
Did she have
on.
A necklace, a gold necklace with little lines?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Her and
I actually
necklace.
Liked what yeah. she wore when she arrived with the leopard print
yeah,
and the jacket.
I like that, too.
That was cute. With the
that was
booties.
Really cool.
Yeah.
That and was it was cute. Probably cold out, too, so all of them wearing
rainy.
Dresses.
It was so rainy.
And it looked like it was almost
the baronic
snowing.
Pressure.
Barometric,
yeah.
Whatever it was. okay, and during the time that they're all coming out in their outfits, Ramona, we hear all, there's just so many quotes tonight that we could just quote forever. It's like the go-to-sleep quote, like we can go forever. But I thought it was hilarious to hear Ramona, I need new friends. You just hear her walking down. She's like, I need new friends. You know, they're just, there were so many, I can't even go into it. But then we go into the dinner at Izakaya.
Wait, we have to talk about the fact that Heather was...
Yes, yes, so...
late.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So what... Okay, Bethany says she likes to call out people if, you know, she's being called out. So she did say that to Heather, and Heather says, I wasn't late. I could just see that Heather was not going to allow this to... Like, Bethany knew, like, there would be, like, a war started if she, like, pushed
there
anymore.
Won't be blood.
Did you guys think that Bethany was right in doing that, or should she have just said nothing?
I agree with her calling her out. I mean, since she had called her out in the limo and said that, you know, people were late and stuff. And I don't think, even if she had, I think Heather got very defensive about it. And her situation with Sonia already, she was just frustrated, I think, with the day. So I can understand her being a little bit on edge, kind of, with Sonia already yelling at her and then now right. Bethany saying something. But I think Bethany had a right to be like, you're an hour late.
Right.
People were already late, but you're an hour late.
And she's like, I'm not upset about it, but you're an hour late.
Ladies, yes, no.
I'm on a fence.
Yeah, I think it's right to call it what it is.
Because it might bother you. Because I so many times where I want to say something to somebody and I don't because I don't want to start a fight. And then it just bothers me and then I get pissed. And then I get more and more, like, bitter about it. And I'm like, I just want to tell you what I'm thinking. So if you just say it, it might cause a fight. But it's like at the end of the day, rather have something just off
but
your chest,
right? But
it
shouldn't cause a fight. That's the situation with these ladies. This stuff should not be that big of a deal to cause a fight. It should be a conversation that's had, but it's the problem with the tact of what they're saying.
It's
how
communication.
They say it. Mm-hmm. So there's no communication. So they're getting mad over an issue that really shouldn't be that big of a deal. Yes, you can be kind of embarrassed that you're late, and she's calling you out on it in front of everybody, but to kind of do what she did and acting the way she did, I don't know. I just think that it's so much... When you approach your friend about being upset about something, do they get really mad at you? Or do you discuss it and then you're done with it?
You know, it depends on the personality of the receiver of the confrontation. And each one of these personalities is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Each one has a different level of strength and ability to take a confrontation.
Yeah.
So for some people, it's a relief. It's like, okay, the devil's out. I feel guilty. I know... Here's the truth. I was late arriving tonight.
Right.
And no one busted me. And I felt guilty all the way here. Now, had you confronted me, I would have said, you're absolutely right. somebody else could have started a fight with you, been defensive, been angry. It just depends on the person.
Yeah, right.
And each person on that show is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we didn't even start till you got there anyway, so it didn't matter. We were focused on something else. But yeah. I understand what you're saying. Okay, so then we go into the dinner at Izakaya, and this is where things kind of go down. Down the river?
They go down south, down a river.
And we see Sonia cry, and none of us like to see that because we all know how vulnerable she is, and we all know that, as Dr. Fran said, you know, it's denial. She just can't face certain things. But it was so weird because we have to take notes while we're watching this. So when I'm looking down taking notes, I look up, and all of a sudden it went from... I couldn't even keep up with the arguments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it went from Luann. I think the first one was Luann, correct? So she says, Bethany says to Luann, "You should get hair extensions. No, you shouldn't. Yeah, because you're from Europe. You lived in Europe.
You look European. It's very European.
Yes, it's very European. Yeah.
Now, I thought that was kind of funny what Carol said. She's like, you're from Connecticut. You should, you know, whatever. I thought she was joking, but it seemed like Bethany took that really, really she really got annoyed by that. Mm-hmm. Did you guys think that she should've?
I thought it was a joke, and she was telling the truth. She is from Connecticut. Yeah. She's not European. Right. She shouldn't have.
Why was Bethany upset? Do you guys feel like she should have been, or?
She felt like it was a dig to Luann.
I think she felt like it was a dig because... Mm-hmm. There was an underlying tone of, I think Carol saying it. I think Carol meant it as a joke completely.
Right. Yes.
I think Bethany took it as like an underlying little dig as we kind of, that was the word of the episode was dig. Mm-hmm. Everyone's digging at each other the whole time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything to be that upset about.
Yeah, because it seemed like she got very upset about it. Yeah. And then we see Sonia says, well, the digs. And then Bethany says something to Sonia, and then Sonia goes crazy. She gets so upset. She's like, well, I just said the digs, and now you just dug me. So what did she say? She said to her...
She asks if Sonia's talking to her, and she goes, do you really think anyone cares?
Oh, right.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't Sonia saying, I've been in PR my whole life?
She and just I think kept repeating herself, and Bethany kept telling her, you're repeating yourself. Stop repeating yourself. I can't,
I thought it was that Sonia
the repeater.
I thought it was that she said, kept repeating herself, and said, I've been in PR my whole life, and Bethany was like, don't, you know you haven't. Like, she I was calling she, her out.
Right.
Like, stop saying things that aren't true. Like, you don't have to lie.
She said, I'm in PR my whole life. I promote people. I think she was trying to say, like, her PR background is that she promotes people. Like, she does it, like she does it, like, out of the goodness of her heart.
So
she's just
like a figure of speech. Like, she's not really in PR. She's just, like, a PR person.
I think so. But I think, as we all heard, and I'm sure Bethany was probably like, you're not in PR. She was just trying to explain that she feels like she's always in PR because she's always promoting people. She's always trying to say she's trying to help other people feel good about themselves. But, I mean, what did you guys think of that whole from beginning to end with Bethany and Sonia in that circumstance? Because Bethany felt really bad afterward, you could tell.
I thought it seemed like it got really obvious that Sonia had already had too much to drink at that point. Mm-hmm. She was drinking a lot of water at dinner, which was good. But it just got out of hand. It's with the repeating about the past life.
Mm-hmm.
She can't stop, and Bethany tried to put a stop to it, and she's in such denial. All I kept seeing from her was denial. It, like, didn't matter what she was saying. It just, like, literally what I would hear coming out of her mouth was denial, denial, denial. Like, no matter what it was, and no matter what she was, you know, if this happened 20 years ago, or, you know, when she started bringing up John and Madonna, it's like, whether it happened or not... Whether it happened or not, no matter what someone is saying to her, she's not answering back with anything that makes sense. It's just like, I'm going to deny what you're talking to me about and redirect it to this.
She did say you are a pillar in my life. Like something about she's to Bethany. Didn't she say that you're a pillar? I looked
that
at you.
She was so disappointed that she's criticizing her because she looked at her as a pillar in
her
life.
And then Bethany felt, you could just see Bethany has so much compassion for her. Mm-hmm. That's why she is fighting so hard.
Yes. Like you said, she genuinely did feel bad.
She really did.
Women apologize and say, even Bethany urging Sonia earlier on in the limo to apologize. Say what upset you. Now apologize for it. And so we hear these women kind of throw apologies out there like it really doesn't mean anything to them. And we genuinely see Bethany apologizing, like feel really, really bad about making Sonia cry. I think anyone, when you make someone cry, is going to feel bad.
I guess
not Teresa Judy.
No. I guess what I was most surprised about, do you remember how when Bethany said that, then Bethany said, don't alienate the one person who cares or something? I thought that was going to get everybody else pissed off. And they were going to say, what do you mean the only one who cares? We all care. But they didn't. I don't think they heard that. Mm-hmm. But I had assumed that because, you know, when you have little arguments with everybody and then you're paired up with somebody for a second, those other people might take that opportunity to be like, going against you to make you look worse. But they didn't do that. They really did just act like they were trying to get Bethany to... They agreed with Bethany. Mm-hmm. But that was an opportunity for them, if they wanted to say, Bethany, you were too harsh on her or something, if they wanted mm-hmm. to. Because at the end of the day, they all have a little bit of a beef with Bethany now, too. Or not all of them, but Heather
but I think
Carol from 2 seconds ago.
I think they all agree with Bethany's approach, that maybe she's a little harsh, but that this is what Sonia needs to hear. And they're all mm-hmm. trying to say it, and they've all said it before, mm-hmm. and now Bethany's saying it. Maybe Bethany is finally the right voice of reason that Sonia will actually listen to.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Now, in that moment, you know, there were so many different yes. attempts throughout this episode, but in that very specific moment, I felt like Bethany saw the alcohol taking its effect and in Sonia, and that she opted not to genuinely apologize, but that she saw this woman is beyond the point of reason.
Interesting.
She's non-negotiable, so I'm going to back off and submit, give her an apology, soften the way, and kind of make a choice to confront her harder later.
Yes, that's actually, they teach you that, I think, in like, not, what is it called?
12th step?
Well, you have to handle someone else who has alcohol problems, but
oh,
you don't
enabling?
Have.
No,
You know, the little meetings of people, is it AA? Not when
yeah,
you have,
step
not
meeting.
When you're an alcoholic, but when you have oh. to deal with other people that are alcoholics.
Sponsor.
I think something like that. I don't know. I just remember someone that used to do that, and she told me that one thing is you just never try to negotiate with someone who is at that moment intoxicated.
Right,
because you
right.
can't get
you can't
through
get
to
through.
Them. They'll right. just, in 2 seconds, they won't even remember what you just said.
Do you know mm-hmm. what? Great therapists, well-trained therapists will not take anyone into treatment who isn't sober. You have to be sober first because of that very reason.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're non-negotiable.
Right.
They have to go to 12-step. Oops, did I step on a
runner? No, I love it. I love it. I think it's great. I
no,
know
it is.
Someone who
oh,
should
who
be
needs that.
Listening to that right there.
I think
you
we
have
all
to get
do.
Sober first, and then you're ready to deal with the issues.
Right, exactly. But, okay, so... That dinner was, I thought the night would have ended there, but luckily it didn't. And it Sonia ended up smiling, and we saw Ramona smiling. Mm-hmm. We saw Ramona and Sonia went off, and they went dancing. Did they go gambling first or dancing first? Gambling, right?
Gambling.
Yeah.
Gambling
they all went
first.
Gambling. Sonia and Ramona were winning blackjack. Ramona got 21 three times. And then over in the other corner, we have the richest housewife there losing. I mean, Bethany's losing. And Kristen's with her, and they see a guy next to them, and this is kind of cool because Kristen and Bethany weren't doing, you know, they weren't really, there was a little bit of tension there because of not being invited to Bethany's party. But she's like, oh, look, she has an Elvis hat on. This guy has an Elvis hat on. He also had a Patriots jacket on, so I want to say, go Boston.
Had to play a game.
No, it did not happen. Don't even start that. This will turn very quickly. No, I was kidding.
I'm joking.
I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. but we see that she said that. I think she was trying to make Kristen feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I was surprised she even knew that Kristen likes Elvis, because I really thought she didn't even really know Kristen at all. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like for her to even know that she likes Elvis was like, oh, she knows more about her than I thought. Mm-hmm. But... they're over there. They're talking. Luann comes over, and we see Carol. Carol comes over with her shirt, her new boob shirt. And then nothing really goes on there. They just had some fun. But mm-hmm. Bethany looked a little bit like that. She just needed to gamble to get her like just to relax. Whether she was losing or winning, she was focusing on something that had nothing to do with mm-hmm. what she just dealt with. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the dancing scenes. Then we see Sonia and Ramona dancing like. Hilarious. We got Ramona with that. What does she do? She does something like this.
Oh, like the old
we didn't get the turtle,
fiction,
but
like,
yes.
Well, Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yes.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Kristen said
that
she
was the. That was.
That's
the
when show. She goes like this, right? Yeah. Elaine from Seinfeld. So the best scene ever.
He's super cute, though. I mean,
I know.
So
they're
cute.
Fun.
They had so much fun. I honestly felt like most of those times where we see Housewives episodes where they're dancing, it's not that fun to watch. I mean, it's okay, but. This was, like, hilarious. Every second we took it all in. We were cracking up. But
was Sonia trying to kiss Luann.
That happened. Hilarious.
Oh
my God. We have
Flasher, we have that drunk friend.
Flasher yes. Snatch. Flasher Snatch.
Oh yeah,
oh,
that
yeah,
was Flasher Snatch.
Yeah, that was hilarious. So, but what, it was like honestly, like she was Luann was like this. And Sonia would not give up trying to kiss her. She's kissing her elbow, her shoulder. She's doing everything she can. Hilarious.
I thought it was weird how everyone was trying to take ownership of, oh, I took care of Sonia. Or I took care of
yeah.
Sonia. So it was like Luann had said that. Bethany had said that.
Did they say that during this time or during afterward when they were, they said it here too?
Luann said it during the club scene. She's like, I'm having to take care of her and not make, and make sure she doesn't flash or snatch. And then.
She failed.
I guess Bethany had said it with all of her talk. Yes. With her. Mm-hmm. And then Dorinda says it, you know, mm-hmm. morning after. She's like, you're welcome. I took care of your friend all night.
Mm-hmm. Which she did.
Yeah.
Do you think they all genuinely thought they took care of her?
And Heather said it in the beginning. She's like, I've carried you up the steps drunk at your house, and now I'm not allowed in.
And they all said it at the breakfast, too. Mm-hmm. And different words, but they
all
said
did
it.
Take care of her at some point.
They all, yeah. I think they all cared, and they but they all wanted. I mean, sometimes it's better to say nothing when you do mm-hmm. a nice gesture for somebody.
Mm-hmm. My heart is aching. I am just feeling so much pain for imagining Sonia watching this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
You have the biggest heart in the world, so, like, you are such a sweetheart.
I feel badly for her because I don't think she knew how she looked, how she came across.
I wish that someone said to her, like, I wish someone did take her aside and say, listen, like, you need to stop. Like, the cameras are on. I feel like if you said to her, the cameras are on, you need to stop.
Sober her up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
That would scare you a little bit because they have to forget that these cameras are there.
Yeah.
But once you're that far gone, I don't think she had any, everything's distorted.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that would stop her, but seeing it when you're sober, maybe.
But she's the queen of denial, right?
She is denial.
Would she watch it and be like, I look great?
No, she wouldn't. But the question is, would she be able to hold it long enough and generalize it to a moment when, what I said to all of you, the reason people use any substance, whether it's drugs, alcohol, sex, food, cigarettes, sex, is to not deal directly with uncomfortable feelings and in the moment. So, you know, whether it's her divorce, her finance, or them being angry at her for shutting them out of the house, whatever the issue is, something felt too painful for her to deal directly with. Mm-hmm. She may deal with it next week or even tomorrow, but for tonight she couldn't. She had to drink.
So would you consider that the same thing as addiction?
It's self-medication. That's, it's self-medicated.
But then you end up involuntarily becoming addicted to that whatever it is that you're using. Because most
correct.
Of the time, people...
Yes. Well, the addiction is... Let's put it this way. There are two things. One is a physical dependency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people become dependent on the alcohol or the drug physically. That's why it takes detox and a medical physician to detox you, mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. clean you,
yes.
so help you get sober. But the addiction part is, like you say, not dealing with the feeling. It's the quick reaching for the drink, quick chocolate bar, brownie. That would mm-hmm. be my drug.
Yeah.
Right? So, girls, have my hips spread since I was
last year. Oh, my God. I don't think so, honey. You're in an extra small gown tomorrow night. You're just fine.
I squeezed into
it. She's crazy. She's this big. Okay, so in this case, would you say that you would assume she's addicted to alcohol at this point?
We don't know for sure. I don't know. You
right.
might.
So you're saying that there's a difference between grabbing alcohol when, you know, you feel a certain way and then, like, being so addicted, like, an addiction being that no matter what, no matter how good everything's going, at this time, you know, you may go and reach for that alcohol.
Let me say it a little differently. I don't know her, and you might, enough to know if that's her habit, if that's what she does. I don't know that.
Right.
You know, this is the first time I've seen her drunk in this mm-hmm. way. Embarrassingly out of control drunk. If it is a repeated habit, and gets in the way of her life functioning, I think it does on this episode, then that is an addiction.
It seems like everybody's treating it like that, although I don't think she's addicted because I don't think she drinks. I don't know. I don't know enough about addiction because I don't feel like she's always drunk. But maybe I'm wrong.
And we don't know, like, what she does behind closed doors.
Well, I'm saying in terms of, like, the show, like, it seems like they're all, she got really, really drunk. But the way they acted the next morning, which I guess we should just get into now anyway since we're at that point.
Oh, could I say?
Yeah, please.
Nothing to do with it. I treated, I have to hide circumstances for, who the person was in confidentiality. A very, very high-functioning person who had a jaw-dropping, responsible, professional job and had to be there 8 a.m. every morning. She was there every morning. But she was so out of control drunk every single night after work. She made Sonia look...
But she'd be able to get up the next day and start...
Functioning.
Every day. A functioning alcoholic.
Interesting.
Wow.
With a job that's... All of us depend on this person.
Right. I hope you helped her.
No, she didn't get sober under my care.
Fair.
She refused to go to 12 step.
It's very interesting.
I was there to help her relationship with the kids, grown children, who were not at all. They didn't want to have anything to do with her.
Yeah, sometimes you can hit rock bottom.
Everyone's different when they're drunk. Some people are mean. As was this person that I worked with. Some people are nice and they just want to kiss you.
At least she's a sweet drunk.
Yeah, give her that.
But
yeah.
Even Bethany says, Sonia's never ever really mean or harsh.
No,
she's not really
never.
A mean-spirited person. There are some of those girls there that are more mean-spirited. She's a genuinely, for the most part, happy, kind person.
Right. But the next morning we see everybody's eating breakfast and... I don't think Bethany was there yet. No, Bethany was not there. Everybody else was. And Sonia walks in, like, glowing, looks gorgeous. I mean, I would be dehydrated and, like, all like a prune. I'd be like, oh, good morning. Like, she's just like, hi. She's like, good morning. And everybody's shocked. And everybody's like, we're all exhausted from taking care of her the night before, which I don't know to the extent of how much they all felt like they had to take care of her. From what we saw, she was drunk and everything, but she wasn't, like... I never saw her falling and or hitting people with things or she was dancing and being silly, but I didn't think it was that bad. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I thought it was embarrassing for her and I felt bad for her. But their response about how tired they were from it, I didn't feel like they did that much. Maybe, but I don't know if that's editing. Mm-hmm. Altogether, some of them took care of her
or
here and there.
Or they're not generous.
Yeah, or they're not generous. Yeah, but they made it like she was like when she walked out of the room and talked to Bethany, they were like, they felt they were talking about how she needs to change so much. Like, this needs to be fixed. And, they feel so bad for her. And it's like, that's why I'm wondering what the addiction, if this is addiction that they think they're seeing, or if they just think that it's a girl that just, has too much fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, she didn't seem to hinder their night. Like, she wasn't throwing up and they were all, taking turns helping her.
Has she been in talk... I'm trying to think. Any episodes yet? Has she been that bad? Like, has she been bad at all drinking?
I mean, if they did, they were all taking... If there was a situation where if she was by herself, and we've seen Sonia in last season when she's at the Derby or they're at some horse racing thing where she was off by herself and she was kind of mad that everyone left her, but she had gone off on her own.
Oh, yeah.
But she... I don't think she was in this state of drinking that she was... I mean, that... I would have been annoyed having to do that, but I also, at the same time, you have to realize, okay, sometimes I'm that person too, so you take care of the other person at times, and it isn't annoying. But she did have multiple people taking care of her, so no one should have really been all that annoyed, because it wasn't one person from 9 o'clock at night till 3 o'clock in the morning having to deal with her. Three or four of the girls were... essentially dealing with her throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. But, how were they making sure
Luann was kind of holding her up on the dance floor and then, making sure her dress wasn't coming up and stuff like that. And then Dorinda kind of babysitting at night.
Right.
And so they were all kind of nothing that she couldn't do on her own.
I mean, Ramona's her best friend. Ramona kind of stepped away. She was like, I don't like her.
It's Ramona's birthday.
No, I know, of course. But I'm just saying she steps out of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I don't like to be around her when she's like this.
Yeah.
So... I mean, she did go back in the room and started opening another bottle that night.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Dorinda was... I mean, I don't blame Dorinda for not taking the bottle out of her hand. That's just going to cause a lot more
Oh yeah.
when you try to take a bottle from someone. Mm-hmm. She God only knows. People, just jerk reaction. Like, she might just turn herself. Who knows what could happen? Like, she's better off just, like, not stepping in. That's all, the damage is done at that point. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then they go, and then we have the last scene. So the breakfast, and then Bethany and do you want to talk about anything
else? The only thing I wanted to say was I loved Dorinda's line the night of taking care of Sonia when she said, "Money speaks, wealth whispers."
Mm-hmm. Yes. This is in the midst of, what was she saying again?
Because she was talking about
parties with John.
And she's like, John Kennedy Jr.'s dead. He's not even around anymore. But she was talking about how she was partying with him and Madonna, and once again, the name dropping that Bethany had brought up earlier.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. It's so true. We've all known that person that talks about themselves 24/7. You're like, okay. Like, and they're just like,
you know,
talk about money every two seconds.
You know, the people that have money, they don't need to say it because they don't need to talk about it because they have it.
It's so true.
And you just see it and they're humble about it, and you would never know.
I never heard that line either. That
was
a great line.
Never heard that either. I love it. It's brilliant.
We should all put it on our Instagrams.
Yes.
So true. So then we have, okay, so then we go into Bethany and Sonia and the heart-to-heart that they had. Overall, I thought Bethany did a great job. What did you guys think about the way she approached her?
I thought it was amazing. I thought, perfect. I've never heard someone speak to, on a Housewives show at least, speak to someone so directly and, like, no BS. It wasn't like, look, you really pissed me off last night, and this is why I'm having a talk with you today. She genuinely was, like, super concerned about Sonia, and she's kept letting herself get interrupted till she finally said, I think you're mixing alcohol with your stress and anxiety medication, and I don't think it's healthy. And I just want you to talk to someone. I just want you to get some help. And she wasn't like, you need help. You need to go see someone. This is unacceptable. It was just like the most honest, caring conversation I've ever seen.
Yeah. It reminded me of Yolanda and Brandy.
Yeah. Yes.
Yolanda's got the ability to kind of be very, very honest. Mm-hmm. But with Brandy, Brandy listens to her.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Beverly Hills.
And before we get the rest of your opinions, I wanted to ask you guys out there when you're, if you can give us 5 stars on YouTube and rate us and let us know what you thought of tonight's episode. And if you can also let us know what you thought of Bethany's approach to Sonia in this heart-to-heart that they had in the last scene. We love reading all of your comments, so we would love it if you guys told us what you thought. Dr. Fran, what did you think of the way that she approached her?
I thought it was great as well, for the same reason you did. And I don't think it was editing. I think Bethany really just, don't mix alcohol with psychopharmacological drugs. You need to talk to someone. And for a moment, Sonia stops, and she's never, in my opinion, more beautiful than when she stops. She's not on. She had no makeup on. She's just listening. She's still. She's pretty.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
She's very
beautiful.
Pretty.
Yeah.
And then she starts with, well, that's projection, and you're projecting. And
yes. Well, she said that in the
earlier.
The confessional later on.
Yes.
That was shocking.
And to me, that is denial in its purest form. She, you know, people talk about, I'm blanking, and you guys may have the word. What is the thing where they confront someone?
Intervention?
Yes, an intervention.
Yes.
That is why interventions are so required, because this level of denial, It is pervasive, and people have to be confronted so many times by caring loved ones, family, and friends. And here Bethany really, really poured her heart out to her, and then boom. She stopped, she listened, and then I did not feel she got through to her.
I did like that Bethany tried to put herself into it, too, just to make it feel like it's not so much just about you. I have financial issues, too.
Right.
I have this, too. I get it. So that it's not attack mode on Sonia, and I thought that was brilliant, and that's, like, such a great, like, she was definitely the therapist of the day doing that. What did you think from
her? I thought it was great. I love how she started. She said, you're fun, you're sweet, you have no negative energy, you're wonderful to be around, we love you. And basically saying, like, Sonia ties her self-worth to being rich, and she's not rich anymore, and she can't deal with it. And that's basically what Bethany said, basically saying, we'll like you anyway. You don't have to be rich and prove anything to anyone. We like you anyway because you're wonderful. And I don't know if she heard it, but I hope Sonia looks back and hears that.
I couldn't believe after something like that, because my guess is that this confessional was done very shortly after so that they can keep those emotions, like, raw and, you know, right there in the moment. But shocking, just that she said... I mean, she said, I understand she's trying to be nice, but I'm very close to my family, meaning, like, she's not. I mean, I didn't understand that.
Like, that was her one-up on Bethany. Like, you grew up in a...
The proof is
with a terrible family. Yes. I have a good relationship with my family, so that's what makes me healthy.
I'm very
not
close
like you.
To my daughter. But it's... Or something. Yeah. The proof is in the pudding. It was all mode.
Yeah.
And it was very much like Dr. Fran said, denial.
Sure, denial.
Totally.
But we're all seeing this overlap with Heather saying that she just let go of what happened with Sonia. And then Kristen kind of saying, I feel like these are kind of fake tears. And Luann admitting and going, no, these are real, genuine, like, hurt tears on her side. So we're kind of seeing the other ladies' opinions without them even being there. Mm-hmm. And I wonder what their opinions, I mean, we could go and read their blogs, but what their opinions of Bethany's conversation with Sonia would be. I feel like that would be really, really interesting to see.
Yeah, I think we should all read that for next week. That's really smart idea, actually. Let's do that. Yeah. I love that. So the episode went amazing. Let's do predictions. We got about a minute left. Make the best of it.
Now, you're after Buzz TV.
All right, let's start. I'll start. Okay, so next week we get to see Bethany having a little heart-to-heart with her stepfather, saying, and her stepfather telling her that her mom never even wanted her, because she talks about how her mother almost tried to commit suicide in front of her one time. So I think we're going to get another very, very honest and real side of Bethany, because we have seen a little bit of editing where Bethany looks pretty bad, and she does, and then sometimes she's honest like she is with Sonia, and we see that softer side of her, and I think we're going to get another softer side of Bethany next week. I think she's an interesting addition to the show. Whether you hate Bethany or you like Bethany, I think she's an interesting dynamic for the show that the show needed.
I agree. Any other predictions?
I can't wait for that conversation.
I mean, I have no idea what goes on next week other than I'm sure it's super honest and interesting that that's the only parent figure left in her life. So it'll be interesting to see what she says based on now that she has a daughter going through the divorce.
Very true.
You know, because she comes from a place where her parents were divorced and now she is. So I wonder if something will come up with that. Maybe.
Right.
And I was struck by that too because I think there's not a lot more powerful than to hear your mother didn't want you. I mean, she said your mother never really wanted a child, the father, stepfather
said.
Right. That's a heavy duty thing to come to terms with. It's almost like the issue of adoption. You were wanted but tossed away.
Right.
You were had and tossed away. I think what we're going to see in the season is Bethany being the voice of reason and always landing vertical. That's what I think. I think we'll see a combination of vulnerability and strength, and her strength will prevail.
I love it. I love
it. Luann versus Carol, too.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Let's see. I don't know what's going to happen there. But, all right, where can we find everybody on? We'll start with Lindsay. Where can we find you?
Oh, you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Lindsay Wagner. My blog, lindsaywagner.blogspot.com, and Thursday nights at 10 p.m. this week for Supernatural. Two episodes left this season.
Awesome. Where can we find you, Fern?
This is Fern Renee. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Renee.
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Megan Stecker.
And Dr. Fran.
And you can find me, Dr. Fran Walfish, at Fran Walfish on Twitter and Facebook. And you can find me at my website, drfranwalfish.com.
Awesome. And back here, obviously, we'll have you back many more times. And this is Ashley. You can find me on Instagram at Miss Ashley Daniels and Twitter at Ashley Daniels and Periscope at Ashley Daniels. And we will see you next week for another episode of Real Housewives. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.